Blog Talk Radio.
Eagle Manny.
And I'm Dorsey Manny.
And we are the preacher.
And the pastor.
Oh, we're so happy to be here, you all.
We're so happy to be here. So happy to be here on the airways. So happy to be back with everyone.
Yeah.
Glad to be back on this platform.
Hey, man. He's very excited.
Yes.
He acts like he's been gone the way you were just here on Sunday and you're back here on Thursday. But you're used to being here every day. That's why.
It seems like it's just been a long time, you know, the listeners. And I really enjoy the preaching the pastor show. I really enjoy the preaching the pastor Sunday service. You know, I really get a whole lot.
Amen. And we're so happy to be here. God bless you all that are tuning in, those who have called in today, those who have logged on to Blog Talk Radio Show, the preacher and the pastor show. We want to say, you know, thank you for taking the time out to be here with us. We thank God for you, and that God bless you and your household in every situation that you're in. We just thank God for you, and that God is going to, it's already done. You're already out. Sometimes we got to see ourselves out of a situation, even when we're going through it. You know, that light at the end of the tunnel that they talk about.
All those things that be not as though they were.
Amen. I'm just so excited. I want to just say thank you to my mother, who has been a big help on Sunday. She did a really good job, you know.
She did a marvelous job.
She's now our church secretary, so she does the announcements.
You know what I can picture? Mother Dilla, I can picture having a church hat on, and she was up there just giving those announcements. She practiced good. She did a great job.
So we thank God for her. We just have a good time. We just thank God. So today we're talking about something that's very important. We deal with it every day. I don't care who you are, male or female, child,
that's right,
newborn. We all deal with this. And we're talking about
the keys to controlling your emotions.
My Lord,
my God. Oh, my.
Some of us cannot control our emotions, and you try, and you just, it's just something that it just triggers you, and it's like, you're going to hear me. You know, because I was in that place the other day. I was trying to control my emotions, but I let my emotions get the best of me just for a short period. You got to know when to cut that thing off before it leads down the road of destruction. You got to know when to silence yourself, and that's, you know, because sometimes you can allow your emotions to overtake you. You know, some people are over emotional eaters, you know, and that's why a lot of people are dealing with obesity because, not because they're hungry, they're eating because of their emotion. They call it emotional eaters. So we're going to talk about the keys to controlling your emotions.
Yes.
And when you can control your emotions, you can be able to really excel in this life.
That's right. This is going to be a eye-opening show for me. Anyone that's listening to this show, you know, this is a message that God gave us. You know, to be able to first for us to try it out and for to give it, you know, to give it to all that, you know, receive, all they want to hear, you know, the keys of controlling your emotions.
Let me ask you a question, Pastor, before we get started here. Have you ever been in a situation where your emotions got out of control?
Of course. All human beings.
But were you able to, you know, at some point say, no, wait, let me cut this right now before it went too far? Because a lot of times, a lot of us, we can't. Yeah, it's one thing that you're going to have those emotions, but can you control them and stop yourself from going any further? Because a lot of us have ended up in jail, in the hospital, even in their graves because of their emotions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there have been times in my life to where my emotions have definitely got the best of me. And when you look back at them, you really realize that, oh, my, I can't believe that I went that far. Oh, my, I can't believe that I said that. You know, I'm really cleaning it up. You know, we really say more than that, you know, but, hey, we all have emotions and we all have failed short at some point in time in your life. And maybe even right now, some of us are falling short all because of an emotion and the stem that comes from it.
Amen. Let's get right into this topic today. If you're just now tuning in to the Preacher and the Pastor Show, we're talking about the keys to controlling emotions. Have you been in a position where your emotions just really took over you? I mean, took control over your life. So this show is to give us the keys to help us to control our emotions that we may live a life that we may not live a life that would lead to destruction. So the Bible says in Proverbs 23, keep your heart with all vigilance, from it flows the springs of life. So your heart is ultimately where your actions spring from. So don't let it be controlled by emotions. Let it be controlled by the words, the promises, and the grace of Christ Jesus. Because when we look at the Bible, and I think just looking at Proverbs 4, verse 23, but also the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deed. So when we look at this scripture, and I'm going to pass it right over to Pastor Dorsey Manning, God makes it clear why we sin. It's a matter of the heart. Our hearts have been inclined towards sin from the time we were born. So it is easy to fall into the routine of forgetting and forsaking God, but we can still choose whether or not to continue in sin. So that's having control of our emotions. So we can yield to a specific temptation, or we can ask God to help us resist temptation when it comes, the emotions that will cause us to react or be in a situation that if we could control our emotions, we would not be in, and ask God to help us, because sometimes we just can't control the emotions. So we have to seek divine guidance from God to help us, God. Help us to have self-control. That's a lot of dealing with having self-control. Amen. Oh, sorry, Pastor, I don't have you on. I'm sorry, here we go. I'm sorry. Controlling it. Today, if you're just attending, we're talking about the key to controlling your emotions. There you go, Pastor, you're on.
Amen. How about now? Am I coming through clear?
Okay. Yes, amen.
All right. Amen. Amen. Who really can say, I'm just going to be honest about this, who really can say I can't control my emotions? You know, this is something that has been an issue from the beginning of time, dealing with emotions, and I'm talking about dealing with your feelings. This has been an issue since the beginning of time. Okay, first off, I want to start off, it was something, you know, that was on my heart, and I decided I was just going to write it down because I did not want to lose it, and I would like to share it with y'all. I'd like to share it with all of the listeners, you know, that's on here, all right? Okay, so we need to know that one word from God can change everything. One word from God can change everything.
Amen.
My Lord and Savior have given me so many words that have transformed me from who I was to who I am. And I thank God for that. Okay? Understanding in the natural sense of your soul takes the soul takes for you first to receive or hear a word that is hear a word that aids you in the gray area of your mind, whosoever said it or thought it. Okay, so now, pretty much, when you understand something, you know, how you begin to understand something is, first, you have to be able to receive a transmission, or you have to be able to hear somebody. You have to be able to receive their words, and you have to still be able to believe the words, you know, that they say, because you just don't know. So there's a area in your mind, it's called a gray area. So like, when you're in the position of learning something, or you're in the position of receiving some knowledge or something, okay? And everybody has this ability to be able to learn. So everybody that can see, everybody that can hear, everybody that can feel, that can touch, taste, or smell, you know, primarily you can be taught. You can be taught, you can understand some things, okay? So first I had to say that. First I had to say that first. Okay, so here's a secret or a key that many have looked over or just not have given this much awareness at all. Who have you been listening to? Think about that. Who have you been listening to? Who have you been making deposits in your memory bank? Whose words are occupying space in your mind? Okay, so if you could understand this, who you have been listening to, and this starts from the time that you start understanding words, from the time that you start understanding, you know, who your friends are, who your brothers and sisters or whoever it is, you know, that is around, whoever you are in company is. Because if you understand this, if you understand that who you are listening to or who you are giving thought to, then what's going to happen is you're going to realize that these are the very ones, you and them, you know, you communicate with each other or they communicate to you, and they're feeding you information that's going to cause you to think. They're going to cause you to make choices. But most of all, since we're talking about the keys to mastering your emotion, it's going to cause you to have emotion, all based off of who you are giving thought to. Now, me and my wife, you know, we talk with each other. You know, we do everything with each other. You know, but here it is. You know, my wife said this. There are things that I say that rub off on her because I say them to her all the time. There's also things that she say, and they rub off on me because, you know, she say them to me all the time. So pretty much what we are doing is that we are feeding thoughts, or we're feeding words into each other's mind or each other's memory bank that will cause ultimately us to feel or act a certain type of way.
So
if I were to give my wife some encouraging words,
yeah,
these encouraging words that I would give my wife, they will do just what I just said. They will cause her to think. They will cause her to feel or have an emotion. And they also will cause her to make a choice or make a decision. But, you know, that definitely works the same way if I was to give her some words that are not as good. They will cause her to do the same thing. Give her some words that's not as good. It don't matter whatever it is that I say. If it's not to the point to where I want to receive that, it's going to cause me to feel some type of way, which will cause me to have and emotion.
All right? Mm-hmm.
So now, okay, whoever or whatever your natural senses are attracted and will and most likely already have dictated the course of your destination. I'm going to explain that to you. Whoever it is that you are talking to, or whoever it is, or whatever it is, it could be social media, it could be family members or friends, or it could be the radio, or it could be the television, whoever or whatever it is that you have attached your thoughts to or your mind to, most likely is dictating the course of how you think, how you feel, and what it is that you say, and what are you going to be doing, which ultimately would cause an emotion. Now, the Bible describes this as being conformed to the flesh, being conformed to the world, living by the rulership or the principalities or the powers, you know, of this world. The Bible also describes this as exhortation, strongholds, superiorities, and so on and so forth. You know how the Bible describes this. So my question is, whose philosophies are governing your life? Is it my own philosophy? So these are things, you know, that had came up in my mind today when I was studying this word. You know, God, he was just pouring these things to me. So who are you listening to? Who are you giving thought to? Who is dictating how you think or how you feel? Okay? All right. Now, that's the first thing that I wanted to say. Now, and the second thing that I want to bring to your understanding. Now, this is not a psychology class, but sometimes, you know, you do have to really examine. If you want to talk about emotion, you have to examine where emotions come from and how is it, you know, that these emotions that you have are uncontrollable. So the second thing that I was thinking about today, you know, this came up in my spirit was your mind. You have to look at your mind. It's like a tripod. Now, a tripod is that that stand that holds the camera up. You know, it has a little three legs on it, and, you know, it holds the camera, and it you know, the tripod, it doesn't take the picture, but it holds together. I mean, it holds the camera in position to take a picture. So that's a tripod. And your mind, you have to look at your mind as like a tripod. It's like a tripod being. It thinks. I mean, it has thoughts. It has emotions, and it makes decisions. This is what your mind do. It thinks of things. It's going to feel a certain type of way, and it's going to make a decision on either one of these two things, on what it's thinking, on what it's feeling, or just a plain old, you know, just making a choice. I don't really know what I'm doing, making a choice. Okay? So now, particularly, this is what we do as humankind. Particularly what we do is we tend to make decisions based off how we feel, which is our emotions. And I'll explain that to you. The reason why I say that, we tend to do that because, like I said again, at the beginning of time, mankind, woman, man and woman, have always dealt with the issue of emotions, of what had transpired in the Garden of Eden. Now, if you have the Bibles, I would like for you to go with me, and I'll show you this. I would like for you to go with me to Genesis chapter 3. And we'll start here at verse 1. And we're talking about keys to mastering your emotions. But we got to start at the beginning, because if you don't know, you know, how to control your emotions, if you don't know where your emotions come from, you need to realize what's causing you to come unraveled, what's causing you to feel a certain type of way, either it's positive or negative. You need to know what's the influence behind it. Okay, so Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" So look what is happening right now. See, now the serpent, we know that the serpent was Satan was in speaking through
on the serpent and was speaking to the woman. So we know that. You know, Satan was entered into, you know, the body of the serpent, and he was speaking to the woman. So before we go any further, you know, if I want to just say one thing, that this is not off topic, but men and women, stop talking to serpents. Stop talking to snakes. Man and woman should not be talking to snakes. So I just wanted to say that. Mm-hmm. Amen. Or out.
Amen
or out. Amen. Stop talking to snakes. Okay. So here we go. Here we go. Here we go. And I'll show you this here. Verse 2 says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And four read, and the serpent said unto woman, you shall not surely die, for God do knows that in the day you shall eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So look at what Satan is doing. What Satan is doing, he is launching a very cunning, a very deceptive trick, and he's attacking man, or he's attacking man and woman's emotion. See, what Satan is trying to do is he's trying to get man and woman to feel like, which is emotion, trying to get you to feel like that God has withheld something from you. So now look here. Like I say, in the beginning, this is all emotion. See, Satan, he could not enter into the body of man and woman, you know, at this particular time because, you know, man and woman was underneath the leadership and following God and doing what God had commanded them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what God had commanded them to do. God had commanded them, you know, to be able to multiply, to be fruitful, and to have God had given them authority, you know what I'm saying, over every fowl in the air, every fish in the sea, everything that creeps upon the earth, all the cattle. You know, God had given man and woman authority in every single thing that was in the earth that creeped. God gave man and woman authority over it. So Satan could not do anything to man and woman at this point. So what he had to do was he had to launch an attack what they was not going to expect was through their mind, which was through their emotions, which is the very thing that God gave us was emotions for us to be able to experience, you know, all of his goodness. You know, you guys, okay, look at all the goodness that God created. We're not going to go through that. We just know all the goodness that God created. That's why we have emotions. We have emotions, mm-hmm. which to be able to enjoy life, to enjoy life. But here's the attack. Okay, so now let's go ahead on and finish this up right here. Let's go ahead and finish this up. And 6 says, and when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree to be in desire to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband and with her, and he did eat. And 7 says, and their eyes, them both, were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves an apron. And then they heard a voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now look at what's happening right now. See, they made a decision. What they did was they made a decision based off of how they felt. They made a decision based off their emotion, which was something that was said to them. And this very thing that was said to them, it triggered something that's on the inside of them to feel like, you know, that they were missing out on something, that God had withheld something away from them, which is the same thing if you look at this right here, you know, from today. The same thing like what I said earlier, who you are listening to, the words or the philosophies or the rulership or the principalities or the powers or the superiority or whatever it is, you know, that the person that you are listening to, whether it's friends or family members or coworkers or radio, TV, whatever it is that you are listening to, that you're giving thought to, will cause you to have an emotion which would ultimately cause you to make a decision, and the decision that you make is going to be formed into habits and formed into characteristics, which will also, you will take action, which will determine your destination. If you do not realize that, if you do not realize that you should not give pleasure, or give not give your ear just to anyone, you should not accept the words of anyone that's contrary to the word of God. If you don't know that, then you will always have a state of losing control when things are said to you. And the reason why you will have this state of losing control when things are said to you, because they hit you somewhere in your emotions. Amen. I know that sounded like a lot.
Amen.
I know that sounded like a lot, but if you really just take the time to just look over your life and look over and see what you have learned, your habits, what you have learned, what it is you know how to do. If you would just look at that, and then you would examine the persons that taught you that, you really have to put yourself, you know, into, okay, well, why did I listen to them? Or why was I giving them this person? Or why was I even with that person? Why was I even doing all that? Because had I not had him been over there with her or listened to her, or had I not had been over there with him and listened to him, then I would not have been in this situation. And this same situation would not have arrived, would have caused me to be in the place where I'm at right now, feeling all these feelings after this person. I'm not even around this person. I grew up, and this person's not even in my life, but the effects of what I have listened to have conformed me to being who I am today.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
So here we are. So here we are right here. Here we are right here. Now, I want you to go with me. I want you to go with me over here to the book of Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We'll go here to Romans chapter 8. I want to show you something over here in Romans chapter 8. Now, based off of what I just said right now, there are things that I or anybody else in this world, they can deceive you, they can influence you, they can cause you to make a decision. Remember I say, you know, our soul or our mind is like a tripod, you know, it thinks, you know, it feels, and it makes choices. Okay, so if you are like me, and everybody, you know what I'm saying, you know, has a mind to be able to think, and everybody has a mind, you know, has an emotion, everybody has a mind, you know, that has a will to be able to do something, things that you decide to do right now, or the things that you decide to do today, or things that you have already decided to do yesterday or yesteryear, they tend to pop back up. They tend to pop back up because this is his trick. This is what he does. So Romans chapter 8 in verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit."
Yeah.
So right here, what this verse right here is saying is that there is no condemnation that comes from God. God does not condemn you for the things that you have done in the past. God does not condemn you for the things that you have said in the past. God does not condemn you for the things that you are doing right now. So how is it that the things that you have done that were in the past, things that you have said and people that you have been with and places that you have gone, how is it that right now today, now these are things in your past, but they haunt you today because it condemns you, or it causes you to feel ashamed, or it causes you to feel guilty because you did it? The answer to this is this is the work of Satan. And when these thoughts come up in your mind, or these old thoughts, or these old feelings of what you used to do, or who you used to be, or what you used to say, when they pop up, you need to know that, wait a minute, why am I feeling guilty? Why am I feeling ashamed about something that I used to do? You know, I used to be a drug dealer. I used to be a prostitute, or I used to all other kind of things. I used to be a murderer, or, you know, I used to be a cheater. I used to be a liar. We're talking about things that are not of God. We're talking about the ungodly man or the ungodly woman who you used to be. Satan, bring these thoughts back to your memory bank, because these are things that you have lived. These are things that you have experienced, and it causes you to be condemned, and then you will feel like that it's God that condemns you. But no, God is not the one that condemns you. It is Satan who condemns you. For the Bible tells us that Satan condemns and God fulfills. Jesus Christ came to fulfill. He did not come to condemn. Even the word of God says right. He says this right here. It says, therefore there is now no condemnation in them which are in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ Jesus, then how is it that you're still feeling ashamed, or you're still feeling like that you're not good enough? Or you're still feeling like, where do these emotions come from? Where all this stuff come from? This comes from your past, and this is the work of Satan. And we should know that. But I guess the main question is how do you stop these thoughts? How do you stop these negative feelings from coming up that cause you to lose control? Well, the way you do this is, first off, you have to know that you don't stop thoughts, old thoughts, with new thoughts. You capture thoughts with words.
Mm-hmm,
and
then
you capture thoughts with words. Anything that comes up in your mind, anything that comes up that makes you feel a kind of way that you know it is not, you know what I'm saying, the will of God, it condemns you, or it ashames you, it causes you to feel guilty. It caused you to be confused. It caused you, you know, to be in an emotional state of mind on the negative aspect of. You capture thoughts with words. You capture with words. And what word? You capture thoughts with the word of God. Anytime your mind tells you, you know, you're just an old prostitute. I am not a prostitute. I am a new creature in the body of Christ. I am in Christ, and Christ is in me, according to John 15:4. John 15:4 said, abide in me and I will abide in you. See, that's how you capture these thoughts. Because the minute that you will let the word of God come out of your mouth, when the word of God comes out of your mouth, the word of God is mighty, and it brings down all these thoughts, all these imaginations, all these strongholds that try to exalt itself over you, that cause you to feel condemned, that cause you to feel like that you are not good enough. And I'll show you that over in 2 Corinthians. I'll show you that over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10:4. I'll give you a second just to get over here. 2 Corinthians 10:4.
Amen.
Give me one second over here.
You're just answering into the preaching of Pastor Shaw. We're talking about the keys to mastering your emotions. And so if we continue to think about that, how do we control our emotions? It deals a lot with having self-control and asking God to help you to be able to control your emotions,
right.
Having self-control and for God to actually teach you how to do that. And I'll let Pastor continue on, then I'll come in a minute here, and then I'll give what God has given me to be able to give to you all about, you know, controlling your emotions and having self-control. And that's with anything in our lives. Because if we can control our emotions, then we can take hold of our life and you know, live a life that is fruitful.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right. That's right. If you can control your emotions, a beautiful wife, I'm glad you said that. If you can control your emotions, you can control your destination. If you can control your emotions, you can control your destination, and you also can see and you can hear and you can find out the will of God for your life, which is the ultimate thing that everyone in this world is trying to do, trying to find yourself and trying to find out what you've been called to do. But you have to first keep your emotions in check. And you keep your emotions in check. And like I said, you keep your emotions in check when these things come up to you, whether I say something to you that calls you to try to come unravel, use the word of God. 2 Corinthians 10, let's start right here in verse 3. It says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, these strongholds, I'm talking about these words or these thoughts or these feelings that someone has placed upon you, that they have said unto you, they have found their way inside of your mind. They have found their way inside of your body, found their way inside of your heart that cause you to feel some type of way. These are strongholds. This is what the word is talking about. And verse 5 says, casting down imaginations. You're casting down imagination, you're casting down thoughts. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So
Amen.
The Bible says that you can bring every single thought to the obedience, to the knowledge of Christ. By how? By using the word of God. You
Amen.
Use the word of God and you capture these thoughts. And when you capture these thoughts, you are capturing these negative emotions that cause you to be unwrapped. Amen.
If you just had tuned into the Preaching the Pastor Show, we're talking about the keys to mastering your emotions. And as our pastor was talking here, you know, Rick, first of all, how do we do that? You know, what are those keys and how do we master our emotions? You know, we can give
yeah.
you every scripture in the Bible, but how do you begin to master it? How do you begin to use the scripture? What is the scripture saying? One, we have to recognize our emotion. What is the emotion that we're feeling when we're doing this thing? How does it make you feel? What emotion rises up, you know, when someone touches you, when
uh-huh.
someone says this word, when you go to this place? Because sometimes it's your environment that will change your emotion. You can get that uneasy feeling, so then you have emotion of fear.
Right.
It could be a touch that has you feeling a lustful feeling. It could be a song that's being played that can change your emotion as well, and how you, you know, how you're moving, how you, what is activating you, which is your emotion. So recognize in your emotion and then slow your pace, learn how to slow your pace and not being quick to anger or quick to respond. Then share your emotion with God. You know, let God know, speak to God. You don't have to wait to get home. You don't have to wait to get in your car. Right there where you are, you can speak to God, because God is everywhere that you are. God is there. It's not a place that you can go that God cannot reach you, that God cannot hear you. Then you have to teach yourself to stop. You know, when you're in that thing and you realize, okay, if I continue on, I'm headed down a road of destruction. You know, I can very well destroy my life. So you got to teach yourself how to stop yourself in that emotion from overtaking you, overpowering you. So then you got to pinpoint your triggers. And we're talking about what triggers this thing. Well, it could be something that's said, something that, you know, that you hear. It's something that triggers these emotions that causes you to come unraveled. And then you pinpoint those triggers and the underlying of the emotion, and then visualize your victory. You know, if I act this way, what's going to happen? But if I do this way and decree and declare that you're victorious over this situation, victorious over that emotion, and realizing how I used to be, I would have just went off. I would have been in jail. Some people can say that if it wasn't for God, and if God didn't help you, that, you know, you would end up in jail or somebody would have been hurt. So now you can decree and declare victory, you know, over your emotions now, because you've learned how to control these emotions. The Bible says in Proverbs verse 4, 24 to 27, and I'm going to read those to you. The Bible says, put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far
Amen.
From you. Let your
Amen.
Eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. So what is the Bible telling us here? As we know, I gave you our verse 23, Proverbs 4 and 23, that said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So when we look at here at these scriptures, our heart, our feelings, our emotions of love and desire, it dictates a great extent how we live, because we always find time to do whatever we enjoy or what we want to do. So Solomon here tells us to guard our heart above all else, making sure that we concentrate on those desires that will keep us on the right path. So make sure your affections push you in the right direction, your emotions. So put boundaries on your desires, and don't go after everything that you see. Look straight ahead. Keep your eyes fixed on your goal, and don't get sidetracked or deterred that leads to sin. Amen? So we have to be very, very careful about our emotions. And we can all agree or disagree over that, but understanding if there's a disagreement at any point in time, you have to learn. Some people can't stand for some, for you know, for someone to disagree with them. They want everybody to agree with them, everybody to agree with what they're saying and doing. But the moment somebody disagrees, they come unravel. Now they're emotional. Their emotions are getting the best, and now they want to fight. Now they want to shoot. They want to do all these things. So I was watching this documentary today, and I normally don't watch TV, but my husband came in, and I was like, he said, what are you watching? I said, I'm watching a documentary about this NFL player. He looked at me like, you watching what? And I was like, Scott, I just asked him, what are you trying to show me? You know, what is this? And I'm watching it, because if you're not careful, those things can really take a toll on you emotionally. You don't realize the things that we watch can take a toll on our emotions. You know what I'm saying? And it can take root and manifest that thing that you're watching. It can really bring you, if you ever watch the movie, it can start making you feel depressed. It can make you feel sad. It can make you feel happy. It can make you feel glad. It can make you look old. So it makes you feel all kind of emotions, just like music. So we have to be careful what we watch. And even what we taste can make us have an emotion as well. You know, I don't know if you ever smell something and it made you, it just changed your, you're like, I'm upset now. Like the smell really upset at you. Yep. Now you're angry because it stinks. I'm like, what's wrong? Why do you look like that? What's wrong with you? That thing that don't make no sense. Now you upset and you want to fight. Mm-hmm. So we have to guard our gaze. We talk about gaze, any openness to your body, you know, so we have to be careful. So anyway, I'm watching this movie, this documentary, and I'm going to finish it. And I was trying to figure out, okay, what am I supposed to get from this? So what I was getting is because this young man is an NFL player, would seem like on the outside looking at him, he had everything that any man would want as far as in sports. You know, he had the money, he was young, he was good looking, he had the woman, he had all these things, but his emotions was taking control over him, which led him in prison, and then eventually, it led him to kill, because he couldn't control his emotions. And then next thing you know, it led him to killing himself, committing suicide, because he could not master his emotions. So that's why it was so important when my husband came up with this topic for tonight is, you know, let's talk about mastering our emotions, because our emotions could get us in and out of trouble depending on how we are mastering our emotions. So I'm going to give you all one more scripture, and I'll pass it right back over to Pastor Manny over here. And I just thank God for this, you know, this topic tonight. I'm sure it's helping someone as myself, because I can decree and declare with my life that I will not allow my emotions to control me. I will not allow that. I always pray for self-control, not just with, you know, being angry or something like that, but even like eating right, you know, being disciplined, you know, having self-control, being disciplined, asking God to help you to be disciplined in whatever it is you're doing, because a lot of positions, even in work, we have to be disciplined to be able to do some of these jobs that are out here. They want people that are disciplined, that are focused. And you can't be out of control with your emotions and talking about I'm focused and I'm disciplined. A disciplined person has control over their emotions. They're able to control their emotions. So you have to learn how to control your emotions, have self-control. So we thank God. And like I said, we're going to go to one other scripture here in Proverbs 25, verse 26 through 28. Proverbs 25:26-28. It reads, a righteous man who falters before the wicked is like a murky spring and a polluted well. It is not good to eat much honey, so to seek one's own glory is not glory. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. So when we look at these scriptures, to falter before the wicked means setting aside your standards of right and wrong. So you allow your emotions to move according to who you're with. Now, I want to be with the wicked, so I'm allow my emotions of how they ought to be that way instead of controlling your emotions and doing what's right, and, you know, and not doing wrong just to settle for who you're operating with and around. So no one is held by someone who compromises with the wicked at all. So dwelling on the honors you deserve, I'm looking at verse 27, dwelling on the honors you deserve can only be harmful. It can make you bitter. The time of emotion, discouraged or angry, and it will not bring you the rewards that you think that should be yours. So pining for what you should have received may make you miss the satisfaction in knowing you did your best. We're talking about emotions here. And that's verse 27. It is not good to eat much honey, so to seek one's own glory is not glory. We're talking about emotions here, mastering your emotions. Do you have control of your emotions? Verse 28, again, says whoever has rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. So even though city walls restricted the inhabitants' movements, people were happy to have them, just like burglar boys and your house are a gate. It gives you that protection or that sense of protection. So with our walls, they would have been vulnerable to attack by any passing group that were coming by. So self-control limits us. When we try to self-control limits us to a certain extent, to be sure, but it is necessary, and out of control life is open to all sorts of enemy attacks. So think of self-control as a wall of defense and protection. Amen. So we just thank God. If you're just getting to the end, we're talking about the keys of controlling your emotion or the mastering your emotions today here in the preacher and the pastor show, having self-control, asking God to help us and to guide us, getting into the word of God, understanding, allowing it to get into you to really penetrate your soul, your spirit, so that you can now control those emotions that have been out of control, that's leading down the path of righteousness. Amen. I mean, destruction, not righteousness, but have the emotions that lead down the path of righteousness instead of ones that lead down the road of destruction. Amen. Glory to God. Go ahead, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. You know what, Pastor? You know, not all emotions are bad. We just look at emotion, you know, as being bad because, you know, emotions are pretty much always geared towards us, all not your emotions, and so we have symbolized that as being, you know, bad. But you're right. The good emotion and right emotion does, and it will lead you down to the path of righteousness. And I'll show you that a little bit later. You know, once we go ahead and wrap this up, you made a statement. You said when a person says something, or they don't agree with what you're saying, it can cause you to be unraveled. If they try to say something that, you know, contradictory to what you say, and you become emotional. I can tell you where that comes from because I was actually studying this too. We might have to pick this lesson up at a later time.
It's Thursday.
Because, you know, it's a lot of substance, you know, that's in here. You know, being a master over your mind is not something that's just going to happen. You know, okay, now I heard this, you know, now I'm a master. No, that thing what you were talking about is called superiority. It's called superiority.
Mm.
When you think that it's something that you have to say and who you saying it to, they need to listen to what you have to say because you know what you're talking about and they need to listen because you got every intentions on correcting them. That's called superiority, and superiority is the very thing that man and woman, you know, was given. Over in Genesis says, you know, let man. He said, let us. The Bible said, let us give them power and dominion. So you have superiority. You have been, man and woman have been created to have superiority. But the thing is when you are not walking in the right state of mind, or you're not thinking in the right state of mind, and you're not walking according to how the Word of God tells you, realize that your life is not how it's supposed to be, but you still have that superiority, that you were created to be superior. So what you want to do is you want to say something to someone else because you need to be superior over them, because you're not superior over your own thoughts and your own self. And that's why you come unraveled. You come unraveled because you got to listen to me. You got to listen to what I say. And I can show you that over here in Romans. It's not something that I'm just making that up because, you know, I'm just going to make it up. I can show you over here in Romans 12 where it says it right here. Over here in Romans 12, and let's go to Romans 12, and let's go to verse. We'll go ahead and wrap this thing up.
Jesus, we're just going to tune into the
Romans
preaching
chapter
pastor,
12.
So we're talking about the keys of mastering your emotions.
Yes, keys to mastering your emotions. And now that we're on the a topic of being superior. Being superior over someone because you cannot master your emotions. That's the reason why they need to listen to you. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that your bodies and living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And 2 says, and be not conformed of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds,
that you may prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And 3 says just what we were just talking about. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt with every man the measure of faith. So right here, what it is saying right here, God did not create me to be superior over you. God created me to be superior over everything that walk and creeps on the earth, all the cattle, all the fowl, you know, everything that's in the air, everything in the sea. God did not make me superior over man, and God did not make me superior over woman. Neither did God make woman superior over man, neither. God did not create you unsuperior. God, right here, this scripture right here says that God hath dealt everyone, every man and woman, the measure of faith. So that means everybody has the same opportunity. You might be a hairstylist, and, you know, I might, you know what I'm saying, not even got my license yet, but that don't mean that you better than me because, you know, you didn't got your license before me. That don't mean just because, you know, you have read 3 or 4 scriptures and I've only read 1 scripture that you know more than me. You're not superior over me because of a title, because, you know, the word of God tells us to not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be superior over anyone. And like I say, you know, the reason why you do that is because you have not been superior over your own self. You not have got a control over your emotions. Now I've got a control, you know, over your thoughts. Now, the last scripture that I want to read right here, I want to go over here to 1 John. I want to go over here to 1 John. Well, actually, I want to go over here to 3 John. Go over to 3 John, not 1 John. Go over to 3 John. We'll start right here at the first. There's only one chapter. So 3 John, we'll start right here at verse 1. The elders, we'll start here in verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So right here, you know, what this scripture is saying, that he said, I wish, this is John saying, you know, I wish that you prosper in your body, in your physical body, but it said, but most of all, prosper, your soul prosper. You know, your soul is your mind, that your mind prosper. And the way your mind prosper, you know, ultimately, since we're talking about today, is you being in control of your emotions.
Amen.
And remember earlier when I said that, you know, that we are a tripart being, you know what I'm saying, you know, our will, our emotions, and our thoughts. Can you control what you think? Yes, you can control what you think. So because you can control what you think by the word of God, you can control the choices that you make with the word of God, and you also can control your emotions with the same thing with the word of God.
Amen.
Don't love coming unraveled. You've been coming unraveled. I don't know who I'm talking to. I could be talking to myself. You love to come unraveled. You love to tell somebody a piece of your mind. You love to be evil. You love to not forgive. You love to hold someone hostage, you know, to something that they have said or done. You see, you're loving that. Because if you're loving that means you're loving the one that creates those thoughts and creates those feelings, which is Satan. So stop giving each other the fruits of Satan. Give each other the fruits of God, the gifts of God, which is love. Give each other love. Give each other peace, gentleness, kindness, forgiveness, faith. And the one we're talking about today, self-control. Give each other that. We have to pick back up on this right here lesson. This lesson was pretty good, a key for mastering your emotions. You know, go ahead on, Pastor. Yes. You know, this was very helpful to me. I hope it helped someone else.
Let me get it from you. We thank God. Y'all tuning in to the show. We're talking about the keys to mastering your emotions here, and I wanted to try to get in. We have about 5 minutes left. I wanted to be able to pray for those who are on the line today. We thank God for you. May God continue to strengthen you and be with you. We just can't thank God enough for what he's already done and what he's doing. I do want to close out with a scripture here in Romans 7, verse 17 through 20. The Bible says that, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform, amen, what is good I do not find, for the good that I would do to do, I do not do. But the evil, hallelujah, but the evil I will not do, I will not to do, that I practice. Verse 20 says, now if I do what I will not to do, and kind of mix you up right there, but now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. You all can go back to this in Romans 7 so you can read it for yourself, verse 17 through 20, so you can kind of understand what the scripture is saying. So the word is saying here is that the devil made me do it. I didn't do it. The sin in me did it. So these sounds like good excuses, but we are responsible for our actions. We're talking about our emotions here. We must never use the power of sin or Satan as an excuse, because they are defeated enemies. So without Christ's help, sin is stronger than we are, and sometimes we are unable to defend ourselves against its attack. That is why we should never stand up to sin all alone. Jesus Christ, who has conquered sin once and for all, promised to fight by our side. You have to ask God, ask Jesus to help you with your emotions. Help us with our emotions, those that lead to sin. Yeah. So if we look to him for help, we will not have to give in to sin. So we're talking about emotions and controlling your emotions and mastering your emotions. We're not talking about the good emotions. We want you to have those good emotions of happiness and, you know, having the fruits of the Spirit, like my husband gave you all in Galatians 5, verse 22 through 23, having the fruits of the Spirit, taking root and letting it take root and abound, take root and manifest in you and become part of you, soul, mind, body, soul, and spirit. So now you're operating with the fruits of the Spirit. Now you're not out of control with those negative emotions that causes you to sin, because when we become overly emotional about things, will lead to sin, leading down the road of destruction. So before I want to give you all some pointers here, and then I'll pray for you all. Do not react right away. Ask for divine guidance. Find a healthy outlet. See the bigger picture. Replace your thoughts. Forgive your emotional trigger so that you can move fast and move forward in your life by controlling it. Asking God for self to help give you the spirit of self-control, the spirit of obedience. Amen. So I want to pray for you all right now. Now, if you all can join us on Wednesdays, we do have Bible study at 7 p.m. You can give us a call in at 7 p.m. to our conference line, which is 732-434-2510. Again, it's Wednesdays at 7 p.m. is our Bible study. The number is 732-434-2510. And then we have our Sunday service here on the Preacher and the Pastor, Sundays at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. That number is 845-277-9213. And that's to our online listeners today. You can call in and be a part of Sunday service. And we thank God. And on Mondays is at 6 a.m. is our intercessory prayer call at 6 a.m. And we fast from 6 a.m. to 12 noon, and you call in to the same number, 732-434-2510. Let us pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you touch everyone that's on the line tonight. Those that purpose their heart to be here, Father God, we pray their strength on tonight. And Heavenly Father, we ask you to forgive us of all our sins, our trespasses, and our iniquities and transgressions, Father God. Heavenly Father, we ask you to forgive us for any unforgiveness we have towards anyone, oh God. Lord, help us to control our emotions, Father God. Lord, help us to have self-control, oh God, and obedience in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we ask that you help us, oh God. Give us divine guidance, oh God, and understanding of your word and what we need to do and go, Father God. We praise you, Heavenly Father. We give you glory in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Heavenly Father, we ask you according to Isaiah 22 and 22 to open the gates of heaven above us and bless us right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to open the gates of favor, provision, deliverance, wisdom, protection, for each of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we ask you to open those gates so that we blessing that we can be your divine destiny. Heavenly Father, we ask that we would be blessed to use these blessings in your kingdom according to your destiny and your will for our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, according to John 14, to God be the glory. Oh, Father God, we just want to say thank you. It is in Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. To God be the glory. And we all say amen. I hope and I pray that all was blessed tonight with today's topic, the keys to mastering your emotions. Do not allow your emotions to get the best of you. Ask God to help you. And I know sometimes it's not easy, but with God, all things are possible. We just thank God for helping us and guiding us, and that we can decree and declare in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that we are victorious in every area of our life, even over our emotions. Thank you for God. Amen. Pastor, is there something you want to say as we wrap up the last few seconds?
Yes. What I want to say is we're going to pick this one back up because there's a lot of more material that's left in this. So we just can't just get on this right here topic and get on anything else because, you know, this is the curse that the Bible was talking about, you know, being made a curse. He was talking about being made a curse, you know what I'm saying, through your emotions. And it said that in Genesis. So we need to pick this one back up at another time. You know, we definitely will let you your listeners know. We thank everyone, you know, for being a part of the Preacher and the Pastor show tonight. You know, we love you.
God bless
you. We love you. Amen.
We love you, and nothing you can do about it. Y'all have a good night. God bless you. Till next Thursday, 8 p.m., here on the Preacher and the Pastor show. Y'all have a good night. God bless you. Yes. Love you. God bless you.
Yes, I love you too.
Come on, put your hands together.